You're listening to Four Seas, One Family, episode 73. Welcome to Four Seas, One Family, the podcast where expats, immigrants, and migrants can share and learn about life experiences abroad. I'm your host, James Thomas, coming to you from Taipei, Taiwan, and I'm so glad to have you traveling along with me on this journey, and welcome to the show. Today, my guest is Mr. Mark Corondi, and he's coming to us from Switzerland. And we're going to talk a little bit about how Mark fell in love with the mountains in Switzerland, how he got used to the food there. And he's from the area, so he didn't make like a fantastic jump. But we're going to talk about how he sees Zurich. And I had fun talking to him. I found him on Facebook. And, you know, it's very interesting how when you don't expect it, you know, you bump into so many interesting people, but you just sometimes reach out and sometimes you get surprised on what you can learn from other people. But before we get into that, I want to talk a little bit about something I've been thinking for a couple of months. And, you know, every time I put a podcast together, you know, things as it relates to expat, immigrant lifestyle, even migrant lifestyle comes up in the news. And at the particular time, it may not have anything to do with the podcast I'm putting together and things like that. So I think I'm going to try another thing here. I'm going to put together a couple of my, I'll call them rants right now. I call them Four Seas, One Family rants, coming from James, I guess. And these are things that I prompt to record based on what I've gathered from the news and things like that. I'll try to make them, you know, 5 minutes to 10 minutes, and if I can control myself. But I think it'll be a good idea to put that in the podcast to kind of like add it as a supplement of opinions, I guess. But I'm also, you know, open to your opinions too. You can click on our SpeakPipe page, and maybe we can get some of your opinions or rants, whatever, into the show. But so let's try our first rant. Okay, so here we go. The world is moving at a rapid pace, and the reliance on international exchanges has taken on an even more important role. It appears that many policymakers are asleep and very much not aware or don't care about what is happening in the rest of the world. So therefore, a mature approach is needed to fend off the desire to highlight our differences as a reason to eliminate cultural engagements. Now, we need to get beyond some of the built up and often perceived fears and prejudices that are deeply rooted in some cultures. And I think it would be a much better idea, for the sake of humanity at least, to make provisions accessible to people to interact with each other. Now, after spending an extended amount of time away from familiar environments, one notices things that were once invisible or too low on the radar to cause or influence a major shift in lifestyle. The same happens when someone lives long-term abroad. They notice or see things about not only their host nation, but also their home nation as well. And as a result, comparisons are made, and terminologies, especially those related to people and culture, are redefined. Like personal relationships are recalibrated, your relationships with your friends, acquaintances, colleagues, and believe it or not, your enemies. Your opinions are readjusted or in some way redefined. How you, for example, define, or your opinions about the things you like, things you love and care about, and sometimes even about the things you hate. Even your goals are clarified or refocused. You know, like what is, maybe to you personally, what is considered success as it relates to, say, business, education, you know, and relationships are placed under a new or different type of microscope, consciousness maybe. So basically your overall life purpose and maybe your financial and material needs are adjusted or changed in some way, especially when you are within your overseas environment. You know, you kind of like take a new set of accounting to who you are, what you want, your goals, those and those people you interact with, and things like that. It doesn't, I'm not saying you become more critical, but you become more aware, especially self-aware. And these types of comparisons helps give you a type of clarification. Now, also from outside your home nation, at least over time, what I mean is from outside your home nation, over time, you become sensitive or aware of things that would have gone unnoticed if you remained in your home nation. From outside your home nation, you see the eroding effects of misrepresentations of destructive collective thinking. That's right. You see that some collective mentalities or way of thinking can be used to sway opinions in both negative and positive directions. You learn that it's vital to understand that the poison that is the side effect of ill-disposed tribalism is a major reason for the selective amnesia that has been allowed to propagate and spread like a contagious virus that is destroying the connections between people. And this is especially the case in certain parts of the population within my home country. And it's quite saddening. So when the gap that defines our cultural uniqueness is placed before us, we have to become more sensitive to how our uniqueness can be misused or abused by those who are looking for ways to manipulate and prevent us from learning that, like I always say, we have a lot more in common than we think. And if we continue to give accolades or permit certain people, especially those in leadership positions, to blatantly propagate the misconstrued message that those of us who are of different cultures, speaking different languages, practicing different religions, and living by different philosophies or lifestyles as enemies, right? We start going down a downward spiral of mutual spiritual and physical death and destruction. I guess that's the simple way to say that if we allow this to continue, we are all going to hell, basically, in at least a social sense. And the sad thing is, I think we are already at the fringe of this breaking point. And one small push, either intentional or not, will bring down the fall of once respected nations along with their societies. And if this happens, there will be more than just your typical collateral damage. Anytime something happens, we always hear things about unintentional destruction. They cover it in this global term called collateral damage. Well, collateral damage can affect more than what we think. And I'm just hoping that my personal overseas experience, along with the many fine people I've been lucky to have on this podcast, could inspire others to interact and constructively engage with people from other nations, cultures, backgrounds, and even ideologies and philosophies. And that's why I call the show Four Seas, One Family. Now, I truly believe, I feel that people shouldn't be limited or locked into social interactions with those who are exactly like them. Some people call that a monolithic approach. And basically being locked in limited social interactions, it just doesn't allow room for conscious discoveries and innovations, not only within that locked culture, but between crossing the divides to reach over to other cultures to share discoveries and innovations. Now, what I'm saying is more springboards for quick cross-cultural interactions must be provided, must be made, must be developed to assist in lowering distrust between people, which could later in turn lead to misunderstandings, hate, and simply violence between people of different backgrounds and cultures. And this is what I hope. And leaders, unfortunately, leaders of countries that were once thought to be symbols of peaceful progression, are now aggressively closing off access to their nations. And this is causing a detrimental ripple effect all over the world. And other nations are surely taking notice and are also themselves aggressively moving in ways that will protect their global interests. And you just can't blame them for doing so. And when nations become self-interested in narrow and counterproductive ways, political vacuums become even more volatile and potentially dangerous. And not only at a local level, but also at an international level. So it should be of no surprise that this narrative is being repeated all over the world in nations, especially those nations with large populations that were once considered having only negligible international influence. This type of narrow-minded, government-sponsored avoidances. If it continues, we will be just left in the dark and end up having nothing worth sharing. So these are thoughts I want to leave with you to ponder in your mind and encourage you to also promote the idea that people of the world should invest in learning more about one another. Well, that was my first attempt at standing on a soapbox. And if you have anything you would like to say, we'll welcome it. I don't want any hate mail, though, any hate messages. But please stop by 4Cs1Family/voicemail. That'll switch you over to our SpeakPipe page where you can send in your comments. And, you know, we'll love to see if we can get into the program. So without any further ado, let's get to our interview with Mr. Mark Corande. How you doing, Mark? Welcome to the show. How are you today?
Hey, good morning. This is a beautiful day here in Zurich. A little bit rainy, but I guess this will clear up during the afternoon.
Well, good morning. That's right. Over here is it's an evening here, Taiwan time. Thanks a lot for being on the show today. And so, wait, how do you end up out there? Because, you know, always the first thing I always say is, how did you end up where you are? Because you already told us where you were in Zurich. How did you end up out there?
Well, I always was looking at these expat communities outside my country, and I really much like the mountains here in Switzerland. And I was thinking that it looks like that Zurich is a place where I could do my own business maybe at one time, or just go there and work, and I will have the beautiful surroundings, very calm people, probably a better mindset of people than my own country. So I was like, if I ever get the chance, I would probably try to move there. And guess what? I got the chance 5 years ago. So
cool.
I did.
Where's home? Where's home originally from?
So I'm a transplant from Hungary.
Oh, cool.
So only a couple hundred kilometers away. So it wasn't like really an overseas move. But I find it a very, very nice place to be, a very good place to be an expat, actually. So I'm glad that I did the step.
So you didn't have to do a lot of preparation, did you? Huh? You have to do any type of pre-prep or anything before moving over there? Because you know, a different place is just a different place.
Yeah, I kind of was reading about, you know, cultural differences in the administration, taxation, mm-hmm. all that things. But at one point, a good friend of mine just texted me that, you know what, Mark, you don't have currently a job. You're looking for a job. And I actually could offer you something mm-hmm. here in Zurich. So why don't you just come? And I was like, you know what, that's a lot of interviews and I need to prepare a lot for that. And my English was so bad back then. And I was like, so who do I need to interview with? And then he said, you know what, you are in. You don't need to have an interview.
Oh,
so
cool.
Just come.
Wow.
Okay.
Your timing was right.
Exactly.
So that's what attracted you there? I mean, it was just a job thing or a connection thing? That's how this magical connection happened?
As I said, I already kept an eye on Switzerland. Mm. And this was just a very nice coincidence mm-hmm. that I was in between jobs. I was already working together with this friend and we knew about each other that we can work together. So I was like, yeah, let's do it. And if I don't like that, maybe after the project, half a year or 1 year, I would just move backward or do something.
Move backwards. That's right. Blame it on the beautiful mountains and all that stuff. That's really, that's what you can do. Blame it on the
something
beautiful.
What you can get never, you are always loving that and you can get never tired of it.
Well, what about adjustments, man? I mean, you know, any type of major adjustments you have to do? Because, you know, anytime you go anyplace new, there's always at least something you have to recalibrate to or readjust yourself to.
So probably something what affected my everyday life was eating healthy.
Oh.
Like a lot of salad here, you know, in Hungary back then we like the meat and the fat and the paprika.
Oh my goodness.
Here we changed it to a lot of salad, fish mm-hmm. and all the crazy healthy food.
Crazy what?
But I actually pretty much loved it. So this was something for sure for a change. And then the other thing was, you know, everything looked more expensive than it used to be in Hungary. And I was like, okay, every day when I was going to the grocery store to get the, you know, milk or bread, I was just translating the currencies. And I'm an engineer, so I'm good with numbers. So it was just an instant for me. And I was like, I don't even want to drink any more milk or eat bread because it's just too expensive. So, but these kind of adjustments, you know, since it affects like really your everyday life, you mm-hmm. you get up, you need to do these kind of things every day, and it just fades over time. Sometimes obviously I'm like, I could eat some good perkot, which is one of the Hungarian national dishes with a lot of fat and meat and paprika. And sometimes I even think that, oh, this producer, this good is probably much cheaper in Hungary. Uh-huh. But you know, after a while, you would just not even recognize this kind of difference.
Oh, really?
But this definitely was something what I needed to adjust myself.
What particular food that you're hooked on now that you never had before back in your home country, but now that you're there, you know, now something that hooked you? What particular food or taste you acquired?
I am crazy on avocado.
No, you and I are just the opposite. I mean, oh goodness, I eat it because I have
really?
To. Oh yes, some people are crazy about it. So you're one of those avocado lovers, huh?
I love to have it for a breakfast with all of sea salt and maybe some eggs, and I just love it. For some reason, obviously, Switzerland is not the best place to grow avocados, though. Yet here people are crazy on these kind of fruits from the tropical countries, and also a lot of seafood. For example, to my biggest surprise, I wanted to make some traditional Hungarian Christmas dish, which is the fish soup, of course, with paprika.
Fish soup, okay.
And to my biggest surprise, I couldn't really find like cheap freshwater fish here in the grocery store.
Really?
But I could, but I could find all the sea fish here, which doesn't really make sense because Switzerland has beautiful lakes, probably with a lot of freshwater fish, right?
Wow.
Yet it doesn't have a sea, whatever.
How about the recreational life out there? Because, you know, you do get a lot of snow out there. How do you find, you know, what do you do for recreational activities? I mean, do you go out running someplace, or what do you do in the snow? What out there?
So I'm not really a snow guy, let's say. Many people would think that, oh my God, this is so great. You're right. Living in Switzerland. So basically from October to April, you can go skiing, snowboarding and all that thing. And I was like, yeah, so this is the thing. Sitting on the ski lift is really not for me because I am pretty much afraid of heights.
Uh-oh.
So what I would do, I would go to the mountains for hikes. I pretty much like that. Like maybe 10, 15 miles hike is pretty easy for me. So that's fine. And well, but this is something what I would do during weekend time, right, with friends. As sports, what we are doing is usually I just go running or swimming or to the climbing gym with friends.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. Well, tell us about your interactions with the locals there. I mean, how did you... You know, I mean, language issues and things like that. How do you deal with that? And you know, how do you make friends there and things like that?
So, yeah, that's the other very frequent question. Also, you do you speak German, right? Because you are living in the German-speaking area of Switzerland. And I'm like, yeah, well, so let me start like this. I speak Hochdeutsch, let's say. This is the High German. This is like the literature German. The problem is no one speaks it here.
Oh.
They have their own dialect. It's not even a dialect. It is literally a separate language.
Oh.
And it was kind of hard for me, difficult for me to understand it. Now I am okay with it, but I'm just too shy to speak. Thankfully, whenever I need to do anything, need to interact with the local people in the store, at the hairdresser, doing administration, going to the administrative offices, usually I would start with Können wir vielleicht auf Englisch reden, which translates to can we maybe speak English, and they are like, oh well, I'm not the best English speaker, and then they just destroy you.
Oh goodness.
Because you know, in Switzerland people can speak very good English.
Are you serious?
This is how they obviously this is how they socialize. During school they need to learn at least two languages, French, Italian, German. So for them it's in their blood to learn new languages. And wherever you go, whoever you meet, there is a pretty high 99% chance that they are speaking English.
Oh, okay. Okay. So you got through it with that. Thank you. See, English, the international passport language, at least in that way. What do you hang out much with local people? Where do you guys go out to? I mean, stuff like that.
So, When I moved here for the job, because I'm an IT engineer, I used to be doing engineering work for IT companies. Usually, the language of the daily work there is English. Mm-hmm. Everyone speaks just English, so therefore there wasn't any very big push to learn English, and also. Especially in IT, there are a lot of expats. So I would say that most of my friends are coming from the different expats communities, not necessarily the Hungarian, but from all over Europe. With locals, I usually can interact in the grocery store, at the hairdresser, in the clubs, in the bars.
Mm-hmm.
One of my best friends is, for example, Swiss, and how we met, it was one of the clubs, 2 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Many of my friends and family warned me before I moved to Switzerland that, you know, Mark, that Swiss people are very closed up. They don't really want to interact with
really?
Foreigners, and you would be having a very hard time there. And I was like, okay, let's see. But on the other hand, Swiss people are very friendly, and there is not. Not much of this. How are you? How is the weather? Kind of chit chat.
No waste of time.
Open, Exactly. For them, it looks like it's not efficient, probably enough. But when they open up, then you would find that they are actually ready to share. They are very nice and open people to you, as long as you are nice and open to them.
Yeah, this straight up. Are there any type of like, let's see, like local customs you picked up? Because when you interact with the local community, right, you do pick up things. You find hidden gems, as we say, hidden gems, things that you probably didn't even plan to find out, or you found out just on a whim. Are there any type of like customs or any type of special local holidays or events that like kind of like became part of you?
So local customs first, what would pop into my mind is on Sundays, people just go crazy and everyone is outside. They
Oh,
are
good.
hiking, they are going for a walk, they are running with the dog, everyone is outside. Stores are not open here in
Oh, just
Switzerland
closed,
during
huh?
Sundays. Everything is closed. Restaurants, obviously, bars are open. So people are actually spending a lot of time outdoors, and this is something which I also picked up. So before that, I was living in Budapest, capital of Hungary. And if it's a Sunday, then maybe I would just meet a friend, or if not, then watch TV, read something, or else. Here in Switzerland, it happens that okay, let's go out for a run, just walk around the lake or along the river or something. But this is again like something which I would do on an everyday basis. And very nice custom, what I really like here in Switzerland, in Zurich, is the so-called Sexalite. And it's basically a very big festival, middle of April, end of April, where they build up a very big artificial snowman. And as a ritual, at 6 o'clock in the evening, they start to burn it in the middle of the city. And well, first of all, I think it's a very dangerous thing
It sounds
to
like
do, but
it.
whatever. And so the thing is that it's like an icon, the snowman, which symbolizes winter, and the less time it needs to blow up under fire, the better the summer is gonna get. And well, guess what? 2 years ago, it was burning, I think, for more than 40 minutes, which is a very long time. So summer wasn't really great, I guess. So this is one of the funny customs what they have here.
It sounds fun to me. I mean, the more you get to know people in your local community and pick up local customs and like I said before, find those hidden gems, it's kind of rewarding in some way. What kind of questions then you get from locals about where you come from, and what kind of questions you hear a lot of the times, or what kind of maybe stereotypes you probably have to squash, when people ask you a question about people from your home, or maybe even from people from your home nation about where you're living at now?
So one of the most frequent questions is about food, about Hungarian food, and oh, it is really spicy, right? And you use a lot of this hot pepper in it. And I used to think yes, but honestly, since I'm living here, I met a lot of Indian people, for example, and they
Okay.
showed me what Indian food is,
What
and
is real
I'm
spicy
like,
food?
yeah. Exactly, that's not comparable what we have in Hungary. So people usually like to talk about this, like locals. Unfortunately, the second biggest topic right now nowadays is politics and Hungarian politics. This is something what I don't really like to discuss anymore with locals in the host country, because it just there's such a big difference in the mindsets of people that they would never understand why certain political actions are happening in Hungary. This is not a nice topic to discuss at all,
Very.
but this is politics, so it's like it usually affects like everyday life. So
For real.
I need to tell, I need to explain, I need to describe stuff.
So you rather keep a distance from that, right?
I try
Yeah,
to,
sometimes
yes.
it's hard. Well, what about stories you hear from people back in Hungary about, Switzerland? I mean, are there any type of things you have to negate or clarify or totally downright say, well, that's not true or this is true, anything like that?
Yes. People in Hungary would think, even some of my friends and family would think that, oh, Swiss people are just
Yeah, this is the point, yeah.
too rich, and because they did not have the world war and very negative things.
Right.
And what I can see here is people are not really fond of the idea that they are having money, because for people here, one loaf of bread was always 2-3 francs, even 40 years ago, probably. So for them, it's not about, oh, now we can afford to pay more for the bread. It was always the same. Around Switzerland, the world changed. And because of the different political or work-related circumstances, it turned out that the Swiss currency now worth more. So, and therefore, if you are living here, if your everyday life is here, you won't really recognize that your currency worth a lot unless you start traveling to other countries very often.
Well, the reason why I kind of like double backed and had to bring that question to you, because, you know, there's always other type of things beyond the so-called rumors that you hear in your home nation about, you know, where you're traveling off to. And there's always something underneath that, well, on a personal level, sometimes you need to explain to friends and families back home. You know, but living outside your home nation, how much do you, and basically, how do you, did you think it changed you in any way, basically? I mean, you're still in Europe, but what part of it, what has your overseas experience, well, brought to you that maybe caused you to look at the world or just people in different ways?
I'm pretty certain about me being more opened up about other people, about myself, to I'm more accepting towards foreign nations, people from different cultures, people with different mindsets, even if I don't agree with them. I think I got to be like a better listener since I'm an expat, in the sense that I'm more interested whenever I meet someone, I would be more interested in how they think than how their parents and
Can you give me an example then? Can you give me an example?
So, for example, when I was traveling in Asia, I recognized myself that most probably in the older times, I would have thought of some people that, okay, so her skin color is different, or he is gay, whatever. Now I would really, really not care about this kind of stuff. And I would not ask questions regarding their difficulties with the skin color or the difficulties with queerness. What I would ask is, what was the last book you read?
You see that. So you definitely know how to break the ice. What was the last book you read? I always get through everything. But, you know, of course, no matter where you go, there's some kind of hard adjustments people, you know, come across. I've been talking to so many expats and you know, I've been getting criticism in the mail about why you always make living overseas sound like it's some kind of panacea. But it's not, because, you know, living overseas in another country, you still have to deal with regular life things. Did you have any?
Exactly.
Yeah. You had any type of hard adjustment you had to, you know, make while living outside of your home nation, and, you know, particularly in Switzerland?
I would say that it was really super easy to get integrated here. When you switch countries, first thing what you need to deal with is to get all your IDs, you know, your work permits. So all this very dry administration stuff. And I had zero problems with this. People were really helpful. I did not feel for any single moment that, okay, here I am just an outsider. Here I am less of a person or something like that. So I can say that I did not have any hard adjustments what I needed to make.
Well, so you set yourself already in an open mind state. How do you see then other expats adjusting to your same situation where you are? Do you see, or what are the difficulties that you see many expats are doing, facing, you know, who are in the same particular situation you are?
So I think Switzerland itself, probably let's say Zurich, because I have my samples from here in Zurich. Zurich is a very easy place to start as an expat. Mm-hmm. So as long as you have your job, you have your hobbies, then you would interact with other people. Then you would be able to immediately start driving like a regular life, what you would do. If you don't have a job, if your income depends on your spouse or your partner or something, then I can see that it's much harder to get started. If you are not willing to learn the language at all, that's another negative point. I think this is what I could see around me in some people that made for them a little bit harder to get started. Mm-hmm. But these are things what either would be sorted out in the short run, or they would just decide to travel to another country, to go to another country as an expat, or go back to their country of origin.
So let me have you then put this in a package then. If you were to give advice to anyone who's also thinking about, you know, looking abroad to, you know, to start a new life journey or to explore other possibilities, what kind of advice would you give to a person who, you know, thinking about living overseas, either as an expat, an immigrant, or maybe as a migrant? What kind of advice would you offer them before they set out on their journey?
Maybe the best advice would have been what I would have gotten is be open from the very first moment you arrive to the country. Be interested in their culture. Pick up sports. Go out with other people to do sports. Go out with other people to a bar, to a club dancing 4 o'clock in the morning, maybe. And you would see that you just think that you are in a lab environment where everything changed around you, but it's just a different, completely normal set of people, environment, mm-hmm. where you would need to integrate. And that's much easier if you are interested in this environment which surrounds you.
Right. Just stay like water, right? Flow. And so
go with the flow, yeah.
Right. Hey, if anybody wanted to contact you, what's the best way to find you?
I think it's the easier to connect me over Facebook.
Okay.
Yeah, most probably. I'm really happy to get in touch with people, to start to talk to people, to listen to their stories, to their culture. Sometimes I even decide to, you know, I met this girl in New Zealand, and there is this event in Stockholm where this girl is from. So let's go there. And I mean, we already know each other, so let's have some good time. I will see Sweden, and that's great. So that's what I usually do. If anyone can offer me a couch for couchsurfing, I'm happy to visit their country.
Well, I can put that in the show notes. Would you prefer? I'll just put it in the show notes, okay?
Yeah, perfect.
You know, I'd really like to thank you very much for taking the time out of your day to answer my strange email. I'm really delighted to hear from you. And maybe we'll do this again sometime in the future, okay?
Yeah, that would be perfect. Thank you very much for having me in your show.
Okay, thank you for joining us here at 4C's One Family. Thank you for joining Mark and me here at 4C'sOneFamily.com. If you'd like to contact me, please visit my contact page at 4C'sOneFamily.com/contact. And if you have any input from my the earlier rant I gave this episode, I would like to hear what you have to say. But please be nice. You can leave me a message via my SpeakPipe page at 4C'sOneFamily.com/voicemail. For 4C's One Family, I'm James Thomas, coming from Taipei, Taiwan. Take care. Zai jian.